Good morning, friends. How are you? Good, very good. So here at Downtown Mission Church, we've been doing a little bit of a series on the book of Acts. We're almost done. Here we are in Acts chapter 26. Let's put the first verse on the screen. It goes like this. Acts chapter 26, verse 1. Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You have permission to speak for yourself." So Paul motioned with his hand and began his defense. All right, so here, chapter 26, we're actually not going to go through it verse by verse, but let me tell you what is going on, give you a recap. If you haven't been with us recently, this is the third time that the Apostle Paul has had to testify. This is his third trial. That's what's been happening these last few chapters. He's been kind of moving up the ladder, just like we might have here. You know, you go to the next higher court. He's just gone up to the next higher court, and now he is testifying before King Agrippa, who's ruling over Judah. And King Agrippa, the emperor, he reports to the emperor and Caesar, and the accusation is that Paul is a riot rouser, a troublemaker. And so King Agrippa says, "What say you, Paul?" And this is where we're going to pick up. But this is the end of the book. In order to see it in its proper context, we are going to go to the beginning, because when I was a student in the university, this was in Wisconsin, my professors would say, there's Basil over there. He's. I'm sure you say this to your students. In your paper, in the beginning, there needs to be a thesis. And the thesis should explain what the whole paper is about. If the thesis isn't clear, then, you know, you don't really know where you're going or what you're doing. In the beginning of the paper, there should be a summary of what everything is about that you're going to say. Well, Luke wrote the book of Acts, and he must have had some of the same professors that I did, because in the beginning of the book of Acts, there is a summary statement of what the whole book is about, and it's going to help us understand what's going on in Acts chapter 26. So let's go there for a second. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This here is the thesis of Acts. This is the summary. This encapsulates all of the book. It goes like this. Jesus speaking, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." This is what the whole book is about. Jesus said, "Wait for the promise of my Father." And this is the promise. A couple verses earlier he said that. Wait for the promise. This is the promise. The promise is you will receive power to be witnesses to the ends of the earth. Jerusalem, starting in Jerusalem and going outwards. And this promise obviously continues, because it's still spreading to the ends of the earth, as the people within this book didn't make it to Montreal, but the promise made it. Once more, the promise is you will receive power for the purpose of being a witness to the ends of the earth. Just as Paul now is a witness, receiving power. Paul is put on the stand. This is, we're reading about what we saw was going to happen. This promise from the Father relates to us. The promise is given to us. So it is very good. I'm just telling you straight up now what we're going to do today. We're going to consider three aspects of this power, because it's very natural to read it and say, "What do you mean by power?" If you read that and you think, "What do you mean by power? Power that relates to us? What do you mean by that?" Well, that's what I want to answer. Three aspects, three connected aspects of this power is what we're going to discuss. There are more than three, but for today, three aspects of this power, this promised power from the Father, promised gift of power for the Apostle Paul and for us. So that's what we're going to look at. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to begin talking about those three. Father God, Jesus, I am reminded of what your servant Paul said to the Corinthian church. He said, when I came to you, it was with weakness and much anxiety, much trembling, much fear. But my words were not words of human wisdom or eloquence, but they were with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Lord, that is who you are. That is who you are. So it is not too much for me to ask for a demonstration of the Spirit's power today. The power that's been promised. Let it be manifest, let it be evident, let it be observable, let it be a demonstration of your power as we talk about what you have said, Lord. We ask this in the name of Jesus, amen. Okay, three aspects of the promised power in order to be witnesses. The first one, the beginning, is going to be a little bit of a review from last week, as we talked about the gift that was given at Pentecost. This is a helpful review because this is a review that our souls need to hear. So, the promise was made, Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2, it began, and it went like this. We'll read this again, Acts chapter 2, verse 14, 18. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. The promise was the Holy Spirit would come, and now in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came. It happened. And then when it happened, things were going on. People were watching. What's going on? And the apostle Peter said, this is what you're seeing. You're seeing what the Father promised now taking place. What he promised in days of old, in the days of Joel, he promised that there would come a time when he would pour out his spirit on all people. And your sons and your daughters would prophesy. Later it says, this promise is for you and for your children. So don't limit this to just them, okay? People like to do that. They say, oh, that crazy big stuff, that was just for Bible times. No, 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 get that out of your head. The promises for you and for your children, the promises are received by faith, so it's very important for us to look upon these promises and not look at them with doubt. Promises received by faith. Now, the promise is your sons and daughters would prophesy. What does that mean? Naturally, what comes to mind when we hear prophesy is predict the future. And that does happen a couple times in the book of Acts, but it's much bigger than that. It's much more significant. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Once more, in the days of old, before Jesus, the Old Testament, for millennia, for centuries, for a very long time, the people of God had what I would call impersonal religion. They had impersonal, rule-based, ritual-based, tradition-based religion. And that is the normal way that people have forever done religion. I don't like the word religion to communicate what we're all about, and maybe you feel this also. People say, oh yeah, they're very religious. I know what comes to mind. What comes to mind is that impersonal, rule-based, ritual-based, tradition-based, you know, thing. Well, for the people of Israel, for many, many years, that is what it was for almost all of them. The people had the rules, they had the commandments, but they didn't have a personal connection. Except it was different for the prophets. For the prophets, it was very, very different. It was not at all impersonal. We talked about this last week. It's worth saying again. Moses, it says, Moses talked to God like a man talks to his friend. And foreshadowing this event, this era that we're now in, Moses said this on one occasion. He said, I wish that all of God's people were prophets. Do you see what we're talking about? When we say your sons and your daughters will prophesy, we're talking about direct access. Direct access, like Moses walked with God, talked with God, like Abraham was called a friend of God. And it actually goes deeper than that. It's greater. John the Baptist, who was, Jesus said, there's no one, no man born of woman greater than John the Baptist. John the Baptist, even though he was in the New Testament, is actually the greatest of the Old Testament prophets. And I don't have time to explain what I mean by that. But John the Baptist, prophet for sure. And Jesus said, the least person in the kingdom of God is greater than that. And what he meant by that is your status would be better than that of the prophets. Better. Even the best prophet, John the Baptist, your status would be better. Understand this. Better how? How are we better? We are better in position because the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that now rested upon them, upon the prophets, lives in us. And here's what makes it better. Once more, this is review. This is the review our souls need to hear. What makes it better is that it is the Spirit of adoption. It is the Spirit of sonship and daughtership, the Spirit of being a child of God. And that changes everything. Everything is changed through adoption. This is something I remember this week. Some years ago, this was like 10 or 15 years ago, there was a case of, it was worldwide news, a family from Tennessee adopted a boy from Russia, 7 years old. And apparently, that boy had some major problems. Apparently he had some major behavioral stuff. That's what the family thought anyways. He was violent and had deep psychological issues. So what this family did was they put him on a plane back to Russia, hired someone in Russia to meet him, put him on a plane with a note explaining the whole situation. And, you know, this child is violent and worse than they told us that he was, and we need to send him back. The whole world was outraged by this for good reason. Because we understand something naturally. This is something that is given to us by God, an understanding. Adoption is not something you can undo, is it? How badly behaved was this seven-year-old? It's irrelevant, isn't it? It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if everything she said and more is true. Doesn't matter if he was super violent. Doesn't matter if his behavioral and psychological issues were the worst. There is no situation which makes it acceptable to nullify an adoption and send him back. Because that is not how adoption works. That's not how family work. That is why I say our status, as the scriptures say, we're not under the law. Because children aren't under the law. Yes, 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 every household has rules and morals in which you should follow. But if you break those, your status does not change. Your access does not change. This is why what we have is greater. We have direct access now and forever, not because we're good enough, but because Jesus was good enough. And his blood covers us. Hallelujah. Okay, now this is the first power. I told you I would discuss three. This is the first and the most important. The power of becoming a child of God, of the power that comes alive in our inner being. That's the power. The power of direct access and relationship to the Father. The power to comprehend the love of God. the first and most important power that was promised. But there is more. There is more that is connected to this. And, well, together we prayed this last week. I want to put it on the screen. We prayed this together. This is two chapters later, after the Spirit came. This is Peter and John praying. Or maybe Peter and James. It says, "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. The first power is the power in our inner being that comes alive now that we have access, relationship to the Father, to talk to him like a child and to be led by him. That's the first power. The second power is probably what you would expect when you hear the word. If Jesus was talking to his disciples and said, "You're going to be clothed with power. You're going to receive power from on high." If Jesus, the miracle worker who raised the dead, who calmed the sea, who gave sight to the blind and healed the sick and multiplied the bread and such, if Jesus, who did all of that, said to you, "You're going to receive power," well, I suppose in your mind you kind of would have an idea of what that means. And it certainly meant that, didn't it? And that's what they were asking for. In verse 30, we prayed for this last week. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because we talked about it last week, but I'm going to say a few things. I look around. Wait. What was the purpose of these miraculous signs and wonders in the days of Peter and John and the apostles? What was the purpose? To grab people's attention and to authenticate a message. That was the purpose. And when I look around at what is happening, the day and age, the landscape, the spiritual landscape, not just here in Montreal, but certainly here in Montreal and more, I can't help but feel like, Lord, we could use a little help here. Like I realize that this is not the most important miracle. It's not the most important power. The greatest power is the power of love that people look upon. I know that. But this was not too much for them to ask, and this was not too much for the Lord to grant, was it? He was happy to do it. And, I consider the times when people look at Christianity as just one of many religions. Isn't that how it is? Isn't that how people see it? And not only that, for a lot of people, it's gotten itself a bad name through the impersonal religion that people have used and have done bad things. And so I just feel like we could really use some of this. So I am not afraid. Well, actually, to be honest, sometimes I do feel afraid. But nevertheless, this is something that I want us to continue to pray for.
At this point in the service, we experienced a medical emergency in the congregation. Pastor Charlie addressed the situation and prayed for the individual in question. For the sake of succinctness and the privacy of the individual and their family, we have elected to remove this portion of the recording from what is being published. Thank you for your understanding. We invite you to pray for our brother's speedy recovery. We will now rejoin Pastor Charlie in his message.
We pray for miraculous things, like I just did. The Bible leads us to pray for such things. And in the next chapter, right after this, right after the prayer, well, actually, no, it was before that. It happened once where the Apostle Peter said to a man who had been lame since birth, he said, "Get up and walk in the name of Jesus." In the name of Jesus, he said, "Stand up," and the man did. It was a miracle, right? And the people, of course, were astonished. We read that. We read that the people were astonished because of this miracle that took place, but that's not actually specifically what it says. Peter had told the man to get up, and it says that the people were astonished. Well, the rulers were astonished, not at the miracle that happened, but at the boldness of Peter. The verse that was just on the screen, I'm going to read it again. Acts chapter 4, verse 29 to 31. I want you to see that there's something that they're praying for in addition to the signs and the evidence. There's something else being prayed for. Acts chapter 4, 29 to 31, it says, "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. They prayed for a miracle. We prayed for a miracle. And I will keep praying for miracles. But there is something else. There's something else that we read. There is something else that is equally miraculous that we need. Last week, we prayed for fresh wind, fresh fire to fall, to fill us. I want us to do that again, but there is something else. There is something else that is equally miraculous that is needed. Did you catch what it was? It's boldness. Peter, if you remember earlier, he denied Jesus because he was afraid of a girl. He was afraid of a slave girl. And he denied Jesus three times. And then Jesus rose from the dead. Peter saw that. And when the Spirit was given, Peter was filled with the Spirit and not afraid of anything. And it's out of Peter's mouth that 3,000 people were then brought to the Lord, and then Peter said to this man, "Get up in the name of Jesus," and the man did. And then the people, the rulers, they arrested Peter and John, and it says they were astonished by the boldness that Peter had. And then, of course, when they get arrested, they say to Peter and John, they say, "Stop preaching Jesus." And what the apostles say is, "No, we're not going to stop." And somehow they got let go, and that's another story of why they got let go. But they left, and then they prayed this. They prayed, "Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness." The last two chapters, they've been as bold as anyone could ever be. They were as bold as anyone could be. But nevertheless, here they were asking for boldness. And there's a point here that I want you to see. The boldness that we need, just please hear this part. The boldness that we need does not come from us. The boldness that we need is miraculous power. Just as we ask for God to heal the sick and do great signs and wonders, we acknowledge we have no strength to do that in ourselves. We know that. There's something else that is equally miraculous that we need even more so, and that is the miraculous power of courage. You receive power, and you will be my witnesses. That's what we need. Lord Jesus, we still pray for what is happening here. I'm going to keep speaking the word of God. We pray for what is happening here, but I'm going to keep talking about God's word. Prayer for boldness. I don't know about you, but I need this. They were as bold as ever, and right after that, they're asking God for boldness because they know this doesn't come from me. It's something we need. We need the wind from heaven to blow and to give us such courage. Every morning, I bring my daughter Tovia to school. And every morning, I get there late. Without exception. It's kind of turned into it's our routine. But there is something actually that happens. You have to ring you have to hit the button, and then they buzz you in if you get there late. And we've gotten it to chat a little bit with, you know, the people who work inside the office. And there's a woman who buzzes us in. And, you know, we chat with her a little bit. I practice my French and such. And I've learned that she's from Algeria, which is a Muslim country. I came to learn. I've learned that she loves Italian cookies because we brought her some in part just because I felt bad that she's always buzzing us in, and it made her just so happy. So, you know, we've talked a little bit, and I see her every morning. And I've just been thinking, my wife and I, we've prayed for her. And I think, you know, here we are in Montreal. She's from Algeria. She might not know any Christians at all. Like, I might be the only Christian that she ever talks with. And so I just thought, I want to say something. And I'm being honest with you guys here. There's been a lot of times where I've like brought Tovia into school, and I thought, today I'm gonna say something. And for whatever reasons, I just feel like I just can't find the words. I all I can say is just the normal, how are you today, and small talk, and I don't know why. I understand it's a workplace, so it's like awkward. You know, it's. I don't want to get her in trouble, like talking about religion. I mean, but I don't have to preach a sermon. I don't have to stand there and preach a sermon in the entryway of the school. But I could say something. I'm aware of this. It could be as simple as, I want you to know that our family prays for you. It could be something as simple as that. And as I've tried to do this, I've come to learn the boldness that we need. It's as miraculous as when we pray for miracles such as this. I realize there's a lot of people in my life, neighbors, friends, there's a lot of people that if the wind of heaven blew, I could be a bold, bold witness. And I hope that you relate with that. I hope you hear that and you think, I have people in my life too that I could talk to about the Lord, and I just don't. Last week we prayed for the wind of heaven to blow upon us, for the fire of heaven to fall upon us. Blow through the caverns of my soul. I want this. Paul, the Apostle Paul, who, chapter 26 of Acts, the Apostle Paul, he says to the people, this is in Ephesians, in his letter, he says, pray for me that I could be bold as I ought to be bold. He knew he needed this. And I realized this morning, actually. It's twice leading up to this. It's twice. First, Paul has a vision in Acts 18. And in the vision, he's given this word, don't be afraid. And then again in Acts 22, Jesus shows up in the flesh and says to him, don't be afraid. Why did that happen? Obviously, because in himself he was afraid. Do you know? When you think about what we're called to, do you get afraid? Yeah. I was talking to Barb. I just saw her. I was talking to Barb this week, and I said, actually, sometimes when I pray for people to be healed, I feel afraid. Like I feel that. It's like I don't know if you understand if that happens to you. I feel afraid lots of the times. One of the miraculous signs. Put the last verse on the screen, if you would. The Acts chapter 4, verse 13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. I want miraculous things so that people are astonished. It doesn't only come from healing the sick and fire from heaven and signs and wonders. It doesn't only come from that. Now, I bring it back now to Acts chapter 26. I bring it back. We're not going to walk through the chapter, but I want to tell you something. The promise was power, right? Power, and you will be my witnesses. Paul's on trial 3 times. And I want you to know something. During those 3 trials, there's no miracles. But there's power. Where is the power? The power is noticed. Paul is on trial for his life. And instead of just defending himself, he talks about Jesus. So much so that King Agrippa says, Paul, are you trying to convince me to be a Christian? Instead of worrying about his own life, he talked about Jesus, how Jesus called him, how he talks about how I was an enemy. I hated Christians. And if you know anything about my story, it's the same thing. I really did not like Christianity. And it's like, Jesus changed my life. That's what Paul said. Jesus changed my life, and he sent me to then speak on behalf of him. And catch this. This is Revelation chapter 19 or 20. It says, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Talking about Jesus, this, I'm gonna invite Pastor Cheryl up here to lead us in a time of prayer. But I want you to know this. We have been called by him, all of us. We've been called by him. We've been sent by him. We've been sent not to be teachers necessarily, but to testify of that which we have seen and heard, to be witnesses. And there's a promise, the promise of power. And beloved, I know very much that this power does not come from us. But this is the promise of the Father. God bless you, sir. God bless you. This is the promise of the Father. And together, just like we prayed last week, we're going to pray again. But I just want you to see, I'm almost done, I promise. Put the verse on the screen one more time. They were astonished, and they noticed that these men had been with Jesus. Sorry, I called her up here, and then I just kept talking. She's getting your tablet. Okay, good. I'm almost done, I promise. This is the last thing. When, just a couple days ago, you know, we made some more Italian cookies. Tobias said, can we make Italian cookies for, you know, Madam Kenza? And we did. And we brought them. And I said to myself, today I'm going to say something. And I gave her the cookies. And I was like, it was almost like awkward because I just couldn't find words. And I left. And I just felt like, Lord, I felt disappointed in myself. Felt like a failure, you know? That verse that we just read, the people were astonished by the boldness of these people. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. And this is what I heard Jesus saying to me. What I need from you is simply for you to be with me. Remember what Jesus said to Martha? One thing is needed. One thing. Sit at my feet. The boldness that we need, it doesn't come from us. It doesn't come from us, but it's something that God wants to give.